Joey Vachon. That was the French say, Vachon. This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, the creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian developed the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion, well, at least sometimes intelligent discussion, of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less, and he invariably offered much, much more. I'm Bruce Holman. Let me introduce the Brieflies. Guiding us from behind the board at the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon, and keeping us on course is former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, flight instructor, recently reelected Vachon Airport Commissioner, West Texas devotee, former resident of Montana, former military intelligence specialist, whichever that oxymoron is,
yes.
Truman O'Brien.
Good morning, Bruce. Gosh,
hey. I'm out of breath.
Yeah, I can see that. My gosh. Hey, we're all right here live in the studio. That's what's exciting, except for Kevin. And I'm sorry, Kevin. We have a problem with our internet this morning since Comcast is out upgrading all their lines and everything this morning, and we don't have Kevin, so sorry.
Well, hopefully later in the show.
Yeah, I keep looking.
Sitting across the desk from Truman is his wingmate, fellow treetop aficionado, arbitrator, mediator, two-time Fulbright scholar, high-end women's shoe salesperson, tow truck. What is this, tow truck repo man? There must be some stories there, Craig.
There are. I got through that job alive.
Pinkerton guardian of Boeing's first 747, former tort law professor, and former Washington State Assistant Attorney General Craig Bellis. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. I got to meet this guy sometime. He sounds kind of interesting.
Sounds like an attorney.
Hopefully. No shortage of ego, I'll say that.
Hopefully, zooming in later from his home here on Vachon above Burton is Kevin Jones, skipper of the of Opus, a Camino Troll, intrepid cruiser to Point Norse in Puget Sound in the Johnstone Straits. Kevin is also the voice of Indivisible Vachon in the Vachon Climate Action Group. He's our indefatigable defender of democracy who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government that we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. So, Kevin, I hope you're out there listening, and as soon as the internet comes up, you'll be joining us. With us also in the studio is the executive director of the Vachon Chamber of Commerce, Amy Dreyer. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, thank you.
And let's take a moment to check in with everyone and see what special things you experienced this past week.
Wait a minute. Who is speaking
today?
Who's that
voice that we're hearing?
Who is our master of ceremonies? We can't let you sneak by without saying something about yourself.
Oh, I introduced myself at the beginning. I said, I'm Bruce Holman.
That's it. That's all
yeah,
you
that's
get.
That's all I get for now.
Sure. He's our local.
You guys need to work on my kudos, right?
You're a historian. An extraordinaire,
skipper of the Vachona, and our own globe-trotting galaxy, guardian of the galaxy.
Exactly. I get to globe-trot in January. I'll be in Australia and New Zealand for 3 months.
Oh, man, we're really going to miss you.
This will be my last time teaching down there. It's sort of I'm retiring from that and taking a new faculty member who's going to be running the program. So kind of a bittersweet.
Yeah.
But it's been 24 years of great experiences down under.
Oh, so, that just sounds terrific. Do you ever consider buying property down there?
I should have bought property down there in 2001.
There's a lot of I should have's, yeah. Oh, and the exchange rate was so fabulous, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's check in with everybody. I'll hold off on Kevin until he's here. Amy, you've had a busy week. What's up with you?
Yeah, we did. Vashon had a busy week. Well, a really busy weekend. So Santa came to town. Santa's here, everyone. Officially landed at Winterfest on Saturday, which was fantastic. There was the Grinch's Gratitude Market at the theater, the Vashon Theater, and then the Vashon Village down or up north, I guess, on the north side of town. Across from Ober, hosted pre-parade fun, and then we had the lighted tractor parade. We started down at the chamber and came all the way up here to the beautifully lit town tree at the Presbyterian Church, and Santa arrived and waved at everyone, and he was in Jeff, I apologize, I forget Jeff's last name, but what is that, his 19, probably 50-something GMC with the Corvette engine. So very Beach Boys arrival for
very
Santa.
Red.
Very red. Perfect for the occasion. But yes, that was our last street closure of the year using our brand new signs that the community raised funds for and that we deployed successfully, I think, for a few events. But yes, welcoming Santa to town is, you know, it's you can't be slouching on that.
Yeah, all of our grandchildren came out for that and they were ecstatic. They were excited, so it worked really well.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Craig, how about you? What's your week been like?
Well, it started out very frustrating, as you know. I had to deal with Comcast at my house, and the opinions expressed here are those of only myself and don't reflect the board or the underwriters. Yeah, no, I had the classic 4 hours on the chat trying to be sold something because they broke something and they wouldn't fix it without having me pay a whole, and I told them forget it, and next morning everything worked perfectly. It just kind of came back by itself. So I'm glad I didn't sign off on on upping my contract and whatnot, but that I won't rant on that anymore. Also putting in a new sound bar, Sonos sound bar, which required a level of technical acumen that I was a little short of, but I'm still working on it. I got it working, but I don't have it maximized. Went to a couple of great things during the art tour. Went to Waterworks in particular, the Beck's last Waterworks. Talk about bittersweet. Darcy and Chris and a whole cadre of artists and VCA, former VCA members and board members. It was great to see everybody. Then I went to Julefrokost, a Danish, holiday dinner that was a wonderful thing at Mike and Justine Witt's house. We've had Mike on the show occasionally. He was the president of the Sportsman's Club and is writing multiple books. As a matter of fact, Truman and I have been in communication with him, helping him out a little bit on some
technical
flying issues. Truman was helping him out on routes. I was helping him out on what to call us, you know, in the book. And, you know, we went through Laurel and Hardy and a few other things. Yeah. That's my week in a nutshell. In a nutshell.
You didn't suggest the Two Stooges.
No.
We did, actually. Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy, yeah. I did. And
Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. But I went back to an old cartoon I remember from my youth, Clutch Cargo. It was this cartoon where you'd have the picture, and the guy was a pilot, and all of the characters had real-life mouths that, you know, people's mouths that moved on this, and it was freaky.
Yeah. You know, I had never seen that. Uh-huh. I as a kid, I don't know why we never got it, but
did you look at that video I sent
did.
You?
Oh my gosh, it's spooky.
It is.
I don't know. It kind of gave me the willies.
That's weird.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Totally
that's
weird.
So that fits perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
It's good for you guys. So is there a YouTube address people can go to see this freaky cartoon?
Well, you just go to go to YouTube and put in Clutch Cargo.
Clutch Cargo.
And you'll come up with a whole bunch of videos.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, and be ready.
Yeah.
YouTube is becoming the National Archives of video clips.
That's exactly. Right. I remember that one of the first times I went to YouTube, I put in and tube, and there was, and it comes up. We're assuming you're looking for YouTube. So we'll send you there.
Yeah. Hey, Truman, how about you?
What's well, your week like? I didn't have a too exciting a week, except for the big windstorm that we had. After the windstorm, I didn't lose power. I had a couple of flickers, but that was it. But my wife is out feeding the horses, and I get this call saying, put on your boots and your gloves. We got a problem. And, oh, boy. But a huge branch came down. It must have been, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches in diameter, big guy, and landed on the best darn-looking gate on the whole property and bent the heck out of it and also broke the post that was holding it. And
So you had the original U-tube.
U-tube, yes, I did. It was a big U on that fence, darn it. But luckily, the only good news is that the horse was probably in the stall when the darn thing came down, so it didn't get the horse. That was a good thing.
Oh, boy.
I had a cousin lose a horse here a few years ago with a tree falling on him. Wow. But here's the good news. I have, of course, my farm boss, Steel, chainsaw, my big guy that I cut down massive trees with.
I thought you were referring to Mary.
Well, I have her too.
The farm boss.
Yeah, well, yeah, and she bossed me around pretty good on this one. No, but I decided, I don't want to drag that big chainsaw out. Just cut this little branch. So I went downtown and I bought myself an electric chainsaw. Mm-hmm. Man, is that thing cool or what? It works great. No noise, no smoke, no vibration, just bzzz, and away it goes.
It's got a little chain that goes around
big
there.
Chain that goes around for it. Yeah, 16-inch bar, man.
This is
a big deal. Big deal. I was pretty impressed. Anyway, so that's the good news. Out of the bad news came the good news. So there you go.
Yeah, sounds like an exciting day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The highlight of my weekend was going to the Nutcracker. My 6-year-old grandson was one of the mice who came out and danced around. And he was ecstatic. He was excited about the whole production. And of course, the whole family was there and lots of photographs and that kind of thing. But the Nutcracker is always a magnificent production here on the island. And it's a great way to showcase emerging talent here on the island. And it's an amazing production. I mean, there's literally probably 100 people involved behind the stage, and then there's probably 40 or 50 dancers, but he was one of about, what, maybe a dozen little mice that came out and pranced around. He was excited. So that was the highlight of my weekend. So,
No, I was just going to say, I'm a softie when it comes to the Nutcracker. I can't get through it without crying. The music just does me in.
Yeah.
It's just so emotional in points.
That's why they're called the Romantics.
That's right.
Yeah, I do need to throw in a plug here, by the way. Coming up on the 16th is going to be a great play by Charles Dickens. Well, actually, the book. Alan Fitzpatrick is the gentleman who wrote this production and is performing it. But two shows, 4:00 and 7:30 on the 16th. I interviewed him recently, and A Christmas Carol, by the way, I guess I should say that, is the production. But he is really a fascinating guy with an enormous, his bio would take you an hour to go through. I mean, he's an amazing guy. Anyway, highly recommend it, so get your tickets at the VCA.
Mm, great. Thanks, Truman. So today is December 5th. It's the 339th day of 2023. Thank you, Craig, for making me correct that. I'd pulled up an old script, and it still had the old number in there, and then Craig said, isn't that not the right number?
Yeah.
I said, we have each other's backs, thank goodness. So there's 20 days left 26, before Christmas.
26. Oh, 20 to Christmas.
20 days left before Christmas and 27 before 2024 starts. So the countdown has begun. Today is also National, if I can get this pronounced correctly, Krampusnacht, which is a Northern European celebration with which adults go out and punish misbehaving children. And it's sort of one of those nightmarish kind of holidays that I did not know much about. And Craig, Amy, had you ever heard of?
I have heard of Krampusnacht and embrace it. I think that sounds fun. I think it sounds like something maybe like, can it just be broadened to include like anyone who does donuts in the O Space lot or at Ingram Park or just donuts in general? Just Krampus just comes and, or maybe Oscar the Troll like teams up with Krampus and they come alive.
That's
and,
a great idea.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Like, should be given a preemptive right to just sort of knock heads. Occasionally.
Exactly, right. Yes, right, yes. Vashon Vigilante's return, right?
Look out. Look out, we're getting there.
Yeah, exactly. And today is World Soil Day, something we all take appreciation in. In 1776, Phi Beta Kappa was formed. And in 1872, the Mary Celeste was found abandoned about 400 miles from the Azores. And that mystery has never been solved. Mary Celeste was a small cargo vessel with passengers on board, and it was found just floating in the middle of the Atlantic. No people on board, no debris, nothing, and, you know, in calm weather. So very amazing, kind of one of those mysteries of the sea, kind of the Bermuda Triangle kind of thing.
Classic ghost ship.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Classic ghost ship. And in 1933, this is the day that Prohibition was repealed in the United States. So perhaps we can all raise a glass to that.
There you go.
Yes. So get out and celebrate the end of Prohibition. So our small talk guest today is Amy Dreher, who's the executive director of the Vashon Chamber of Commerce. And Amy, you were with us here in July, but for those folks who missed that broadcast and for new listeners, tell us a little bit about growing up here on Vashon and how has the island changed since you were a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. The island has changed so much and yet changed so little, right, is I think what most people find. But it was great. I grew up here, you know, sort of during the boom era, right, where we still had K2 on the island. We had Stewart Brothers on the island. We had this really vibrant arts community, right, from all of the hippies who'd moved here in the 70s and kind of chilled out a little bit and started making art and applying themselves, so to speak, right? And it was a pretty good time to grow up here, for sure. And coming back, I started, coming back in maybe like 2013, 2015, after, you know, going and exploring the broader world, the wider world, and really fell in love with all of the things that hadn't changed, you know, views of Mount Rainier and beautiful trails and wonderful community and, you know, really accessible, approachable, creative, wonderful people and spaces, and just came back more and more and more. But I think now, having spent a year at the Chamber and, you know, really looking even more closely at what's going on the island, you know, sort of culturally and economically, it is really different, you know, and part of that is just, you know, sort of the disillusion of the middle class in America, right, that Vashon has inevitably suffered from. You know, we were always part of unincorporated King County, which means like economically, you know, many of us start on the back foot, right? We just don't have the services that people utilize to, I don't know, get a leg up in life. But yeah, I do think it's been interesting to see that, you know, we are bifurcating very much along with the rest of the country, and kind of being at the Chamber of Commerce and occupying this dual role of helping businesses thrive while understanding that who wants you know, can't afford to live on Vashon, who is buying what on Vashon, is changing very much. So that's really been interesting to get a lot closer to understanding, you know, some of the economic drivers that are driving change.
Yeah, how long were you gone from the time you started on Vashon and then came back to Vashon?
Go with 25 years.
25 years.
Yeah. So I left, I was about 18 and then was about probably 40 ish.
And what did you do during all those 25 years?
Oh, what didn't I do?
Is this okay to talk about on the radio?
Right? Hold on. Let me go through my officially sanctioned bio. No, I went to school down in Southern California. I went to Scripps, a women's college down in Southern California. I had family down in LA, and so I was kind of drawn to the area. And then after graduation, I put in a really educational year at Starbucks Coffee, which was awesome because everyone should work in the service industry, and everyone should have the chance to see what Starbucks was before it changed, right? It was a great place to work. And then I landed a great gig in Washington, D.C. A friend of mine was working with a gal who was working with a gal who was working with a gal. and they needed someone to coordinate Gloria Steinem's election tour in 2000 and a campus tour around the West Coast. And my friend said, hey, I know a gal who has community organizing experience and knows the West Coast. So that was kind of my big first push into a career in politics, and I ended up in D.C. working for some really cool people for about 6 years after that, 6-7 years, and then moved to Denver and lived with my wife in Denver for about 15 years. And kind of my big thing that I did there was while working at the LGBT Center, I was in charge of all their earned revenue, and I ran Denver Pride Fest, which is a festival about, I think we grew it to about 350,000 over the weekend before I left that position. And then I did what everyone should do in midlife, is I tuned in, turned on, and dropped out and became a fiction writer and picked up some contract writing gigs. And that's when I was able to kind of have the freedom to come back to the island again and start, you know, I think, you know, being in art, I craved being connected to artists a little more. So started to come back and then found this opportunity with the chamber and thought, hey, I have some skills that I think could be really useful to, you know, helping Vashon thrive. And it felt like my turn to give back.
Well,
you know, what you reminded me of there was you really put a lot of stuff into your life in those 25 years. That's a heck of a resume. And you've probably just scratched the surface there. It reminded me of a deposition I took of an executive of a corporation we were suing, and on their resume there was a 4-year gap, and nobody knew what the heck that was. And I asked him, I said, "What did you do during those 4 years?" And he goes, "Well, I kind of dropped out, like you said." And I go, "So, I mean, what exactly did you do?" And he goes, "Well, I was in prison."
Excellent.
That's kind of a dropout.
Excellent. Quiet worked, time of self-reflection.
It worked to my benefit in that particular case. But I digress. Truman, you were going to...
Yeah, I'm sure that you were not in prison, Amy.
I was not. No, yeah, I was not.
Close maybe a couple of times, right? You know?
You no, know, no. What happens in Denver stays in Denver?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. There we go. So, listen, well, we are delighted that you came back to Vashon, truly. You've just done a marvelous job, in my mind, with the chamber.
And, thanks. I'm really glad to be back and be able to, you know, do something. I just feel like I got so much from growing up here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just what a place to grow up, and it's nice to be able to feel like I'm a part of that circle and that cycle.
Well, you mentioned that one of the things that drew you back was the availability of the art community. Is there more things that you've done with the arts since you've been back, or is that one of the big draws?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, one of the things I love about Vashon is art doesn't have to be a way of life. There are many people for whom art is a way of life here, yeah. And that window is narrowing, unfortunately, that possibility for folks. But there are many folks here who are, you know, lawyers, historians, this is that, and they also make art. It is just a part of their life, right? And art is so accessible to everyone here, and it's you can plug in. Sometimes you write, and you know there's 1448 that the O Space holds in January, where you can just go write a play, and I was able to do that last year.
You did do it.
Yeah, I was part of 1448 last year.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and I also, you know, made a great friend here, Chris Basha, who produced a radio show, a radio play, a mystery that I did, right? Just sort of off the cuff. It was just something that we did as a passion project, and Voice of Vashon hosted it, right? So if you want to make art here, there's so many ways to plug in and do it. And it doesn't have to be who you are, but it can be a part of who you are.
And I have to, full disclosure, I engineered for that show, and it was awesome.
It really was so great. Fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun, right? But, you know, there are a few other communities, I think, where you can say, hey, I'm a nobody. I wrote this random radio play. Can we get a bunch of people together to produce it? Right? And Vashon says yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, how can you not love a place that says yes to art?
Yeah. Fantastic.
I had an interesting experience last Tuesday, so a week ago. Terry Donnelly and I were out photographing the team putting up the candy canes. And it was, if you remember last Tuesday, it was bitterly cold. It was foggy. The wind was blowing. It was miserable out there. And here are these crews putting up candy canes. One crew driving around town, setting out the candy canes and the wreaths. And then another crew coming along with the picker trucks, hoisting them up and hooking them up. And it was just amazing sort of experience. And so tell me a little bit of what you know about the candy canes and about what kind of reaction do you get as a chamber when you put those things up?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, I know my first impression of the candy canes was from when I was a little kid, right? Because they have been around for about 50 years. Wow. And, you know, so I remember them going up, and that was Christmas to me. And, you know, apologies for not representing a broader faith tradition, you know, but to me, you know, that's the faith I grew up in. And so, you know, here it was Christmas, we've got candy canes, and it just was such a symbol. And it is so cool that Vashon still has those candy canes 50 years later. And, you know, the Vashon Eagles maintains them, right? They come out of storage every year, and the Eagles restrings them. And, you know, some of the funkier Keep Vashon Weird ones you see looking around have been refluffed, I guess, or retinseled. I'm not sure what the technical term, re-sprouted, you know, but you'll see some that have like this weird sort of wrong color, you know, because they've been filled in. And, you know, talk about a zero waste kind of deal. And, you know, the Eagles will, like, you know, weld them up if they need it, because it is, you know, they take some pretty rough use getting hauled in and out of storage and up and down and, you know, the wind and everything. So I do get a diverse range of reactions too. And a lot of, you know, people are like, what are those scruffy, ugly candy canes, you know? And those are very quickly met with folks who say, you know, kind of like me, like, I love our candy canes. Or Charlie Brown, you know, they are just, they're kind of scraggly and they're hanging in. But it will be curious. I think over the next couple of years, we'll need to start some renewal efforts with them, and maybe sort of do an augmenting and replacing and renewing of them. I certainly don't want to turn them over wholesale, because I think, you know, I love the ones that look weird. And on one of our social platforms last week, there was a fantastic rant about, you know, Weird Cane, you know, sort weird of like cane. Weird, like Weird Barbie, right? But like Weird Cane, who, like, her hook on the cane just isn't quite, you know, who can ever get rid of that? Like, you can't. That candy cane will live as long as I live, I hope. Yeah.
It's kind of like Frankenstein, you know, it's just there, but I love it.
Yeah. So you're talking about going to the community and sort of perhaps revising, not changing, but revising, broadening. What do you have in mind? I mean, how do you think that will work?
Sure. So there are a number of, you know, holiday catalogs available out there that would like to sell your town many decorations, you know, for civic pride. But there is like a holiday one, and there are candy canes still available. And the question is whether the new candy canes will fit the style of brackets that we have, right, for the candy canes, and many of the brackets right now need maintenance and need repair. So I think what we might look at doing is, you know, over the course of a few years, making sure we have all the brackets we need, you know, getting maybe a couple new candy canes. I hope we don't have to retire any, but maybe we could take them out of rotation a little bit to get, you know, rehabbed. So I think year over year would be great to add some, repair what we have. And, you know, some of them will meet the end of their useful life. And, you know, they'll get run over by a truck, or they'll just finally give up the ghost, or, you know, so let's plan ahead, right? I'm a big fan of planning ahead. Let's look ahead and year over year kind of improve, and maybe we can get some. I'd love to have, you know, more canes down in the Burton area, expand north a little bit, right? So kind of expand also who gets to celebrate candy canes in their neighborhood.
Well, I can see us having a retirement ceremony for several of them. You
yes.
know, it can be black capes and you know, a sad affair.
Maybe like at Strawberry Festival, we could draw them down like with black drape. Right. Like, you know, we could get a horse and wagon to the canes down the highway, kind of.
I like that. We don't want to burn them. They probably put out tons of toxic.
Everybody's looking
at our outline.
We got distracted with I was interested you mentioned other faith traditions. What would you do? What would we do as a community to make sure that we celebrate the range of faith traditions here on the island?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that has really kept me preoccupied over the last few months as we prepared for Winterfest. But, you know, I've mostly spent this past year behind the eight ball, you know, just kind of imagine, you know, those stairs that fall away as the character is running on them. That's kind of been, you know, 300 and what day are we on of the year, right? You know, so this is, I finally feel like I have a chance to breathe. And I would like to get together a little bit broader coalition of faiths on the island to talk about, you know, we call it Winterfest. And I think we call it that for the right reason, because, you know, we want to be more inclusive of a broader range of winter traditions and faiths on the island, and we should be. And so I would like to get together with, you know, folks of other faiths, spiritual traditions, you know, folks who truly celebrate winter and solstice, right, in addition to a faith tradition, and talk about what we could do. Because as someone who grew up, and, you know, I'm not part of a faith tradition myself, but I grew up, you know, if you're in America and you're default Christian, kind of. So I would like to learn from folks about, you know, what that could be, and if that is meaningful, right?
What is the major pagan tradition during the holidays? I'm sure there is... probably are some.
Yeah, and I know, you know, the celebration of solstice grows out of a number of faiths. And, you know, I had a group of friends in Denver that we celebrated solstice for 15 years. We would get up and do a hike, you know, to a hill and watch the sun come up, and we would talk about the renewal of light. You know, but there are a number of kind of, I think, profound values associated with the celebration of solstice that match the values that many of us hold on Vashon, that I think would be interesting to explore. Of course, it's separated by a number of weeks, right? But that doesn't mean that we can't sort of bring education of that celebration in. And I mean, who on Vashon at this point in time is not ready to celebrate light?
Boy,
right, here we go. Like, really, the turning is like, let's get it done.
That is the truth.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, the folks who do the luminarios that, you know, go around, right. and now I think they're going around Fisher Pond as the new location, but yeah. What a great tradition that is, you know, that we should embrace, I think.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I hesitate to even open this one up, but... this is also the season where many of us are accused of making war on Christmas.
Oh, absolutely. Right. The oppression of the Christian faith is,
I know, if you,
it's
if
hot
you,
and heavy.
If you don't say Merry Christmas, you must hate Christmas. Even better, if you say Happy Holidays, you're making war on Christmas. Any response to that, my friend?
You know, it's always tough when a group of folks feels like they are unable to fully express themselves freely. And, you know, I will say that I don't personally identify with folks who feel like they are not able to express their Christianity freely. You know, you drive around and everyone calls it Christmas lights. It's like Xerox, right? You don't say holidays, you say Christmas. And, you know, lights are Christmas lights. And, you know, I think on Vashon, we have a tradition of being more intentional about who we are and how we are in the community. And I don't feel like I've heard that, especially, you know, at the chamber, we haven't had folks sort of saying, you know, Amy, why isn't the chamber doing X, Y, Z? And I, you know, I am sort of networked socially with other chamber professionals who still have Christmas celebrations in their town, right? And they're, you know, they sort of, they were unable to have some holiday events. I've networked with folks who, you know, their Halloween events, right? People say they had people come to them and say, you cannot have these Halloween events like this. You can't, like, you know, like they were going to have a witch's paddle and they didn't do it. They were going to have a witch's walk and they didn't do it. Right. And so there are, I think for many communities, a lot more explicit examples of, you know, where one group is definitely putting their thumb on the scale of who gets to celebrate what. But, you know, I don't think we have a war on Christmas on Vashon, and I think we have a lot more room to expand how we embrace many faiths.
Listen, you know, I saw last night Rachel Maddow had Liz Cheney on. Now, you don't get more opposite than that. And they tolerated each other and they worked together, or they talked together. Why can't we do that here around the holidays, for crying out loud?
Yeah.
There's room for everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know,
come on.
When we, you know, chose to kind of move the parade to the Presbyterian Church, that was very much a practical decision. You know, we have a large church in town that is lit. Why not go with that? But, you know, oftentimes that those traditional sort of decisions that are made because of production ease end up being, you know, discriminatory, or they end up, again, I like to use the term, putting the thumb on the scale for one group or the other. And it does, right? I can't imagine, there are not many more churches out there in the world, I think, that are more open and embracing than pretty much all of the faith churches, right? All of the churches on Vashon. It is a very open and affirming religious community for the most part on Vashon. But, you know, I understand that folks say, hey, why did you end the quote-unquote Winterfest parade at the Presbyterian Church? I get that. I get that's a tough intersection that we need to address.
Well, as a retired Roman Catholic altar boy, I don't take offense.
Was that a voluntary retirement?
That was a... I was voluntary-chosen and voluntary-retired. But, you know, it's interesting, on December 19th, we're going to have the holiday sing-along at the theater, the Vashon Theater, and which Father Christmas, not Santa Claus, but Father Christmas in his robe has the honor of being there and leading the singing. And it is typically more traditional Christmas songs. There are typically some Jewish songs in that tradition, but it is not expanded out to everybody. But I always make a point of inviting people, you know, you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, you know, atheist, pagan, whether you can sing or you can't sing, you know, come by. It's just a great community activity that people enjoy without judgment. So,
you know, that is one great tradition that we continue here at the wintertime, at around Christmas time. Another tradition that's now gone away, unfortunately, is Doc Inslee. Like Easley's.
Easley, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
his wagon,
Shires
and the wagons. And is there anything that on the offing that could replace him? I mean, just think about that. I mean, I know it's not easy to replace him, but could we get an old truck or something that has...
What about, like, we could talk to the old goats home, and what if there's, like, a dozen goats...
There you go.
...pulling...
A team of goats.
A team of goats pulling a candy cane draped in black. Now we're getting a little pagan, actually. I think now we're getting a little more interfaith.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Hang some blackberries out in front of them, and keep them moving.
Yeah. Keep them going, yeah. I think that's a great idea. It's a good tradition.
Oh... You know, Amy, I want to also reiterate what Bruce and Truman have said. Your addition to the chamber has really been remarkable. The amount of energy that you have, the amount of things that you do for the community is terrific. And I know how busy you are just with the various festivals and holidays and whatnot that we have. But you also took one of the leading rowing oars in the fight to maintain our ferry service. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the Islanders for Ferry Action and the report that the community ferry report that came out here very recently. Where are you at on all of that?
Absolutely. The report was a big lift for the group, and I'm ecstatic that we have it out there because it's really going to be a template for, I think, years to come in terms of how we advocate for the boats. But the Islanders for Ferry Action is sort of the name we've given to the working group that came out of the chamber, really, you know, listening and looking around at what are some of the core issues for businesses, right? Our mission is to create a vital environment for commerce and community, but, you know, a vital environment for commerce. And what does that mean? If you dig down deep, you know, what we figured out at the chamber is that means the two biggest problems are the boats and affordable housing. And there is so much good work being done on affordable housing on the island, and so many folks who, you know, have taken a leadership role and are stepping up more and more to figure this out. The other thing on the table, of course, was the boats, right? And it's not about just visitorship, right? It's not about people waiting too long in the summer and not being able to come over. It is about, you know, folks who run any kind of business being able to get goods and services. It is about folks who run any kind of business being able to get labor. It is about so many things. It is about folks who need to get over town for medical appointments. It's about folks who need to get over town for prenatal appointments, right? It touches everything in our lives. And, you know, we did, before we did the report and before we did the community forum in September, we put a little poll in the field. We did a little survey of Vashon businesses, and over 90% said that they had been impacted by reduction to two-boat service. And some of those, the majority of folks said that those impacts were severe. But if you're talking about a small business, truly small businesses, like the majority of businesses on Vashon, you know, a 30% reduction in revenue year over year is a killer, right? It is a sort of a silent, slow killer of small business on Vashon. And we know no community can survive without business and without small business. So that was really the impetus to look at the boats. And, you know, the analogy I've used several times is taking a baseball bat to a brick wall. But I also think what happens to Vashon in 3, 5, 10 years if we do not stand up an organized, permanent sort of system for input or advocacy to the boats. And so that led us to the September forum and this report. It's a clunker, right? But the Islanders for Ferry Action report addresses 50-plus solutions that Islanders came up with that really don't have much to do with new boats or crewing, right, which has sort of been the very real but sort of roadblock that the Washington State Ferries and the government has thrown up time over time. Well, we just have to wait for new boats, and we're working at recruiting crew. And that's not enough. We cannot wait. The crisis is now. So that 50 plus solutions comes from many different constituency groups. It comes from parents of kids who are commuting on and off the island. It comes from people who are commuting for, you know, we call it public health, right? And that is anyone, you know, who needs to get over for dialysis to the Vashon Fire and Rescue, who cannot wait 3 hours on the other side to bring an ambulance back to the island. It comes from, you know, folks who need to get over for prenatal care. And then, of course, we have our frequent commuters, right? Labor that commutes on and off the island. And if you look at the report, it reads much more quickly. It's, you know, sort of bulleted point, like, hey, can we get a stoplight at Fauntleroy? When they build the new Fauntleroy dock, can they build it big enough to accommodate an entire boat of cars? Right. If for the medical priority loading, can we go back to some pandemic era regulations where we expand medical priority loading, where we allow healthcare workers to have medical priority loading when they're coming over to the island to provide hospice service, right, or to provide palliative care? There are you know, more than 50, and I won't go through all of them here, but the report is a quick read that if we have multi-agency cooperation, we can get done. Right? These are all things that King County can help us do, that the, you know, the city of Seattle controls Fauntleroy Way can help us do. The boats can help us do a little bit, Washington State Ferries, right? But really what we'd like to do now is lift out some of the solutions as a community, as a working group, lift out some of those solutions that we think are the highest priority and actively advocate for them.
Sure. Yeah, if I can jump in, one of the things that impressed me is almost all of those solutions are no-cost solutions. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you're tapping into King County or the states for a lot of additional money. They're all relatively low-cost solutions, and that's a powerful argument.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I think it's because these solutions come from the community, right? They're community-driven. We will be absolutely asking for some funds for expanded water taxi. But you're right. These are things that just, you know, if we can look at efficiencies and have collaboration and cooperation from, you know, multiple agencies, we can get these things done and realize real improvements in people's lives.
That was the genius, I thought, of the forum that you and the chamber brought and the committee brought, where it wasn't, you know, let's just focus on crew and ferries. There were, you know, let's think outside the box, and do that. So you came up with all, because I remember it just before the forum, and you'd asked me to participate in it, and I was proud to do that. Some people on social media was go, why should we go? It's just a matter of getting new boats and getting crews that are steadily there. And I thought, no, that's not what it's all about. There are dozens and dozens of things that we can do to make the boats as they exist run better, more efficiently, to do things for people to help them, to bring more services over, to expand health services on the island that don't actually mention ferries, but help out that whole situation. I thought you should be credited. And the other thing that you and the chamber do so well, and the Ferry Action Committee, or Islands for Ferry Action, is you keep pushing.
Yeah.
Which is what you got
to
do.
And we are going to have to. I mean, I think that is the toughest reality of all is, you know, this is going to take sustained attention from people on the island, from more activists on the island. We've had a number of folks come forward and say they want to give time and expertise. And, you know, now it is about getting those cats herded and getting sustained attention on it. And, you know, we always want to be very mindful of, you know, the folks who are doing the work on the boats, right? The crew, the staff, everyone who's on those docks, on those boats, in the offices, working hard every day to get us where we need to go. You know, this isn't about maligning them or saying they need to work harder for some reason. This is about saying, like, hey, we've got a broken system, right? For all intents and purposes, for Vashon, the system is very much broken, right? You know, we've got this problem. How can we come together as a community to help solve these problems without piling on the folks who, you know, are showing up to get us where we need to go every day? And that was a big piece of it. But we are going to ask, you know, one of the first ways you solve a problem is to acknowledge there is a problem. And I think one of the things we have felt is that for so long, you know, the ferries have sort of really downplayed the impacts of ferry disruptions, right? For whatever reasons. And, you know, what we would like to do is make it very clear to the governor, the legislature, and the Washington State ferries that this is an economic crisis for ferry dependent communities. This isn't an inconvenience. This isn't about missing a boat. This is about smaller ferry dependent communities really sort of being under the heel of this system that isn't functioning well for us anymore. And, you know, change takes time. I'm the government, you're the government, we're the government, and change takes time. And that is frustrating, and maybe the hardest reality in all of this is that it's just going to take all the time that I would rather be spending, you know, writing silly radio plays.
No, but you know, and we need to include the eastern part of the state as well, which is really tough to do, mm-hmm. because they're not interested. You know, they're interested in farms, and but it has to be a statewide issue. because of the economic impact, I think.
Mm-hmm. So. And, you know, the ferries provide a huge amount of revenue for Washington State. Now,
absolutely.
Whether or not they're self-sustaining is a different issue, but people come to Washington to ride the boats, right? Mm-hmm. They are iconic of mm-hmm. our state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how we involve the folks over on the other side of the state, over in eastern Washington, is a good question. But again, you know, if we can stand up an organization, it could be, you know, that we have the opportunity at one point to, you know, run some op-eds over there.
Absolutely.
You know, do some work over there.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. And it's, you know, Vashon has always had ferry issues from the very beginning, from the mosquito fleet. I mean, we've always been dependent on ferries, and we've always come up with relatively creative solutions. And that's one of the things that strikes me about this, is it's very community-driven. It's very bottom-up kind of driven. And we had Joe Wynn on just, a couple months ago, and he was talking about in the state Senate, out of what, 50, do we have 50 senators in Washington State? I can't remember the number. There's only 6 that represent ferry districts, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've got a politically uphill battle to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is the way to approach it, you know. And like Craig said, you got to keep the pressure on.
Yeah.
You said something earlier that just struck me, and I just wondered if it was the same when you were a kid. You were talking about Uptown Vashon and Overtown being Seattle or Tacoma.
Yeah.
Was that the logo or the lingo when you were a kid?
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I mean, it's almost, you know, it's reflexive at this point. There's Uptown, Overtown, Downtown, right? And they all mean different things. And then I'm going to Tacoma, right?
yeah, exactly. That's funny. Or going overseas. You know, there you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm hitting the mainland. Does anyone need anything?
There you go. Yeah.
So, Amy, tell us a little bit about what else is planned with the chamber for the rest of this month. Is Santa Cottage going to be open? What kind of things are going on? I mean, we've had the big holiday celebration last weekend, but that's not the end of it. What else is planned?
Absolutely. Well, fortunately for me in the chamber, we are blissfully quiet through the end of the year until we hit our big Vashon Home and Garden Fair that we're looking to bring back in March. But yes, Santa's Cottage will be open again this Sunday from noon to 3. And Santa will be there with signed pillowcases and photos for all. Bring your own camera if you have it. Free photos with Santa. But that doesn't mean there isn't a ton of stuff still going on the island. I know the Beachcomber did a fantastic sort of day-by-day holiday guide. I know the Vashon Corral is getting ready to have their performance. The Christmas carols coming up. O-Space is going to do their big New Year's thing. So there is still a bunch of stuff to go. And of course, we have the next weekend of the visual arts tour, the Viva Tour, Vashon Visual Artist Tour, the 9th and 10th, which drives a lot of visitorship to the island. You know, Marla Smith absolutely offered their experience with Viva on what it meant to go to a one boat schedule during the Viva Tour. Right. And, you know, these artists, these 2 weekends that Viva runs the tours are clutch to these artists. Right. And these ferry disruptions. Right. If you have to wait 4 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours to get on a boat and then you don't know if you're going to be able to get back home again, are you really going to risk coming over to Vashon? Right. And we need that money. Those, you know, artists need that money. When we think about visitorship on Vashon, it impacts a broad range of folks. And a broad range of people who need visitorship to, you know, make it through the year. And so I hope folks do go to the Viva Tour. But, yeah, for sure, there's so much holiday stuff going on. And I definitely recommend if you Google Beachcomber Holiday 2023, you're going to get that day-by-day TikTok of all the stuff.
So another question in terms of sort of as a prognosticator, thinking about the future, think about the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years on Vashon. I mean, we're obviously probably never going to return to the K2, you know, kind of, you know, era where we have major manufacturing on the island. You know, are we going to become kind of the Leavenworth of Puget Sound? You know, and is that what people want to be? Or what are the other options out there that you as a chamber are looking at?
It's a great question because we are very much in, I believe, in the space now as a community that if we do not decide where we want to go and plant that flag and head there proactively, we will continue to be subject to market forces, right, that are driving the shutdown of many small communities around the country. And, you know, we are no longer a natural resource extraction economy. Right. That's very much, that was still the roots when I was growing up. Right. That was the last vestiges of that. We are much more the new American economy. And that is very service driven. It is very tech driven. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of bifurcation that goes on with that. Right. The quote unquote haves and have nots. And I do hope and that there's going to be space for Vashon to talk in the next few years about who we want to be. And I think, you know, I had a great conversation with Susan McCabe about visitorship and tourism and, you know, who Vashon wants to be in the future. And, you know, certainly Leavenworth isn't the right fit for us. But is there a cultural identity that honors our past and yet accepts the fact that the future will be different? And is there a way that we can craft a future for Vashon that more of us can get behind and drive at proactively?
You know, 25 years ago, we had a conference or a group together on Vashon that VCA, VAA, now VCA had, entitled Cultural Tourism. Do we want it or don't we want it? Do we want to plan for it? If we don't plan for it, what's going to happen if we don't plan for it? Like you just said, Amy, maybe the chamber can foster another one of those. You'll probably get about 2,000 people coming out and want to talk
different
about
opinions.
That's right. Yeah. 4,000 yeah. different yeah. opinions.
Wait, did you just stumble on the thing that might be hotter than talking about the boats? Yeah. Is this the actual third rail of Vashon? Because I keep looking for it.
Yeah, that may be it.
Well, you know, I think about Oscar the troll. You know, I mean, that what a wonderful addition. But boy, it has increased our tourist input. I mean, a lot of folks are coming over just to see that.
Absolutely.
Parking lot at the top of the hill the
really
captain
cool.
that needs to drive through, you know, to get to
exactly.
his down to the lighthouse.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's a great example of something that was a wonderful proactive initiative from the chamber, even, you know, before I started. Like that has been, you know, more than a year in the works, in the works. Yeah, the troll was a long time in the works. And, you know, that is a positive, proactive piece that fits very well with our Vashon culture, I think, right? It dovetails mm-hmm. very well with mm-hmm. who we are and is an example of how we can, you know, have something that dovetails with who we are and yet increase visitorship. But what does that mean and what challenges does that bring and how do we address it?
Well, Amy, I want to thank you for coming in today and talking. This has been a wonderful conversation, so really appreciate that. Next week, we're going to have a very special Brown briefly. Craig, you want to talk a little bit about the honeybees?
Yeah, we're going to have an academic and intellectual discussion with the honeybees. Well, we might, but the honeybees preschool singers will be with us next week, led by their teacher, Anna Sander. And we look forward to that. It'll be great. I've had them on my morning scramble shows in the past, and we may have some interviews, or as you suggested, we might do the Art Linkletter routine on these little kids and see if they say the darndest things. So come and listen. That don't come, but listen. Although you're welcome to come in the studio sometimes. We've got room for a few people.
Hey, so. Thanks, Craig. So for Kevin, who is not here today, unfortunately, because of the internet, but Craig, Truman, Amy, I'm Bruce Hallman. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.